If you've been with us the last couple weeks, you know that we're taking the summer to go through some of the Psalms. And this week, we come to what Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the famous Baptist preacher of the 19th century, called the Pearl of the Psalms. As John just said a moment ago in his prayer, undoubtedly, Psalm 23 is the most beloved psalm of all the Psalms. Indeed, it's probably one of the most beloved passages of Scripture in all the Bible. It's probably the most memorized passage in all the Bible. We so often see these words on coffee cups, signs, church decor, if you're a little bit older, quilts and blankets. Or maybe if you're younger, you've seen these words on some social media platform with an inspiring and picturesque background. I can still remember memorizing these verses in the King James Version when I was a small boy in Awanas. And indeed, many of our kids in this church are going to grow up memorizing this psalm. And certainly, that's not a bad thing. These words have been read at countless funerals, and unquestionably, there are good reasons for that. These words have been some of the last words of dying saints getting ready to walk through the gloomy door of death. These words have been muttered under the breath of so many who just received some devastating news. These words have provided abundant comfort through the ages to afflicted saints. These words have quieted so many turbulent hearts. Psalm 23 is precious to the Christian faith. Why is that? Certainly, it's because of the tender, gentle, loving language. But even more, it's because here we lay a hold of a precious promise. And that promise is that the Lord cares for His people all the days of their lives. And then He brings them safely home. That's the message of Psalm 23. And yet, even this morning, there's a danger. There's a danger in being so familiar with these words. The danger is that in our familiarity, there can rise up a complacency. And we begin to lose our wonder and fascination and delight in the precious and priceless truths here in these verses. Like that picture hanging in your living room. That once you loved, but now you walk by it like it's invisible. So these truths can almost become invisible. You're no longer struck by the beauty of these words, which you know so well. Your mind has comprehended these things, but your heart no longer leaps for joy at the sight and sound of them like it once did. We can know Psalm 23, but I want us to know Psalm 23. And if that's you this morning, perhaps these words seem distant, perhaps you just don't even feel like these words are for you, how I pray that the Lord would again and afresh open your eyes to the treasure chest that's laid out here for us. And how I pray that the Lord might comfort and encourage all of us, especially you weary saints in here, with David's words this morning. So let's turn to the text. Many commentators see this psalm splitting into two parts. Almost all the commentators see this psalm splitting into two parts. And I believe that's right. In verses 1 to 4, David describes the Lord as a loving and caring shepherd. And he's describing himself as a sheep under the shepherd's care. Then in verses 5 to 6, David's describing the Lord as a gracious host, and David's describing himself as a friend at the table, being lavishly spoiled with all of God's goodness. So we're going to look at the psalm under those two headings, just two headings this morning. Number one, we're going to see the Lord as shepherd. And number two, we're going to see the Lord as host. The Lord as shepherd and the Lord as host. So first, let's consider the Lord as shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. So in your minds, picture then pasturelands. And in them, you have a flock of sheep. And these sheep, they're helpless. They can be a bit frustrating sometimes. They can be a bit dumb even sometimes. They often wander off. They get themselves into all kinds of trouble. Sheep are very needy, and they depend on the shepherd for everything. Everything for their existence. And then with the sheep, you have the shepherd. He lives with the sheep. He's close to the sheep. He leads them to drink and food. He tends to them. He protects them. He watches over them. He binds up their wounds and he heals their sicknesses. The shepherd knows his sheep, every one of them. He's gentle with his sheep. He loves his sheep and he cares for them all their days. David says, that is what the Lord is for me. Brothers and sisters, that's breathtaking. David's saying, the Lord is close to me. The Lord watches over me. The Lord provides for me. The Lord cares for me. The Lord loves me. Yes, it's the Lord. He is my shepherd. We know the Lord is creator, certainly. We know the Lord is powerful and mighty king, of course. We know that the Lord is our rock and our redeemer. We just saw that in Psalm 19. We know that the Lord is a deliverer. We know that the Lord is a shield. And we could go on and on. All glorious, true. But here, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, how I hope you understand and grasp what he's saying. This is stunning. The Lord is the shepherd of his people. And notice too the personal nature of this statement. David says, the Lord, not just the Lord is the shepherd, though that's true, but the Lord is my shepherd. He's mine, David says. David's saying he knows the Lord personally, and the Lord personally knows him. David's saying, I know this shepherd. And he knows me. We're in a personal, intimate relationship, David is saying. So think of your children for a moment. When you look into their eyes at bedtime, and you're looking into their sweet little faces, they're your children. They belong to you. You know them. And as they're gazing back into your eyes, they're looking into their mom or dad. You belong to them. They know you. David's saying, that's the kind of personal relationship that I have with the Lord. He's my shepherd. And I ask, is it possible to have this kind of intimate, personal relationship with the Lord? Truly, it is. This, in fact, is the relationship the Lord has with all his sheep. They know him, and they know his voice, and he knows them by name, and he lovingly shepherds every single one of them, not forgetting any of them. He knows all their names. They're all stitched onto his heart. They're all under his watchful care. And brothers and sisters, don't hear that in the abstract. Hear that for you. If you belong to the Lord, he's your shepherd. You belong to him. He belongs to you. You can say that, friend. If you belong to the Lord, you can say the Lord is my shepherd. How I hope this doesn't slip too quickly past us, because there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no comfort, there's no courage like that of those who can confidently claim, like David, the Lord, he's my shepherd. I hope the Lord will even now begin to open your eyes to that as we move through the psalm this morning. But of course, the question arises here, and the question is, how can one know they're in the flock? In other words, how can I be sure? How can I be sure that indeed the Lord is my shepherd? How can someone truly and confidently say that? That's a good question. That's an all-important question. And I'm going to answer it at the end of this first point. And my hope in doing that is that for those of you wondering if indeed it's true for you, you will want so badly what all those in Christ have. So, Psalm 23 begins with this wonderful declaration of what the Lord is for David, his shepherd. Now, David begins to detail all that the shepherd is and all that the shepherd does for him in this life. And again, see these words, brothers and sisters, as true for you. Not just true for David, but true for you if you belong to the Lord's flock. Okay, so let's see what the shepherd does for his sheep. I'm just going to show you four things. Number one, we see the shepherd meets all our needs. He meets all our needs. David says in the second half of verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. We saw that. Now listen, I shall not want. Now, what does that mean? Because it almost sounds like David's saying that he won't have any desires, like wants, right? But of course, we know that's not true. We know that's not true. There's all kinds of desires that we have in this life. And the same is true for Christians. There's all kinds of desires that we have. So David's not saying that I won't desire. No, David's saying, I shall not lack. So perhaps a more helpful translation would be this: the Lord is my shepherd, I won't lack anything. I will not lack anything. All my needs, David says, will be met by my shepherd as I travel through this life. All my needs will be met. Now, that's an incredibly bold assertion by David. And the first question that immediately comes to my mind in seeing this, is that really true? I mean, can we really say, can David say that? And can we really say that? I'll lack nothing? Really, nothing. Yes, we can say that. Friends, this is the clear teaching all throughout God's Word. He meets all of our needs. Matthew 6, Jesus says, your Father knows everything you need. And if he takes care of the grass, if he takes care of sparrows, if he takes care of birds, you don't think he'll take care of his children? Of course he will. Philippians 4:19, Paul says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Yes, be sure of this, brothers and sisters. The Lord knows and he meets all of his people's needs, both physical and spiritual. That's the confident assertion by David here. And we can be confident in this same promise as well. Now, that there is perhaps one who would raise an objection here and say, wait a minute. You're saying that the Lord meets all my needs, but there are things that I've asked for and I've not received them. You're saying I won't lack anything, Sam, but yet I can think of some things I'm lacking. I've been asking for a real long time and don't have them. How do we make sense of that? I think David and the rest of Scripture to that objection would say, it's not us, but the shepherd who knows what we ultimately need. It is the shepherd who knows what's best for the sheep, not the sheep. The sheep don't know anything. They don't know what they need. The shepherd knows what they need. It's the shepherd who's working out his good and wise plan in the lives of the sheep. Thus, it's the shepherd who will provide in every season exactly what's good for the sheep. He knows what they need. He gives them what they need. And he does so in the timing that not the timing that you think is best, but that he has determined is best. And you know what that means, friends? It means you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. You can just rest. Rest in the fact you've got a loving shepherd. He's yours. It's the Lord. He is your shepherd. You don't think he knows what's best? You don't think he knows how to manage your life? You don't think what he knows what to give you? Oh, no, friends, of course he does. We don't know more than him. We can't meet our needs like he can. Rest in him. Rest in the reality that he meets your needs according to what he determines is best, and he'll do so for all of your days. So take heart. Some of you are so worried in here. Take heart, friends. The Lord is your shepherd. He'll provide everything you need, both now and into the future, even until he brings you home. Number two, we see the shepherd gives us satisfaction and peace. We come to verse 2 now. David is elaborating more on the abundant provision of the shepherd. In verse 2, look there with me, verse 2. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. So picture the sheep in the green pastures. And what are they doing there? They're eating their fill of good green grass. And even more, it's there in the green pastures that they can rest. They can rest because they're safe under the care of their shepherd. And David is saying, here in the green grass, I'm satisfied that the Lord has satisfied me. That's what David is saying. The Lord has made me content. He's brought me satisfaction and content. Surely the Lord has satisfied David with all sorts of blessings. There's too many to count. The same is true for you and I. And surely David's contentment is in the knowledge that all his needs are met. That's true again for us. But yet, David's ultimate satisfaction is the Lord himself. The Lord himself is satisfying David. The best part about being in the fold is we're with the shepherd. We're with the shepherd. He's right there. What satisfaction is there for those who know the Lord as shepherd? He meets the deep longings of your soul. He meets the deep needs that you have. He satisfies all that you're looking for. He alone satisfies it. There are 1 million temptresses in the world, and they're all calling out, come and be satisfied. Come, get your fill. Come, get your hands on this. This will do it. And none of them, not one, will actually meet the deep longings that you have. The shepherd alone does that. He alone meets what you're really looking for. He brings that deep contentment in the soul. Notice then, David says, He leads me beside still waters. At the raging river, sheep can't drink. They can't find rest there. It's too dangerous. It's too turbulent. So the shepherd then has to take his sheep and he has to bring them to the still water. So there they can drink and be filled and find rest. David's saying, the shepherd gives me peace. He gives me peace. The shepherd gives to all of his sheep bottomless, lasting, pervasive peace. Ultimately, he himself, just like he's our satisfaction, he's our peace. We have peace because we belong to him. We have peace because we are his sheep. We have peace because we have him. Satisfaction, peace. Oh, that's for all the sheep who belong to the Lord, and he gives them abundantly. Now, some of you in here, your hearts are raging at the moment. Your mind is racing. You're anxious. You're worried. You certainly don't feel whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Friend, when the rivers of worry are raging within you, fix your mind on the Lord. Look there. Look at him. Fix your mind on all of his promises, including the promise that he'll always take care of you. Fix your mind on his deep love for you. And what will happen as you take your mind and fix it there on the shepherd? He will keep you in perfect peace. For all those who belong to the shepherd, we have peace. So, we've seen the shepherd meets all of our needs, including the deep needs of the soul, the deep desires like satisfaction and peace. Now, moving to number three, third observation here about what the shepherd does. He leads us. He leads us. David says in verse 3, look there with me. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. One thing is certain about sheep. They stray. They stray and they get themselves in trouble. They wander and they end up getting hurt and sick. And the shepherd then has to go and track them down and bring them back to the safety of the fold. It's especially fitting then that Scripture compares us as the Lord's people to sheep, because we do the same thing, brothers and sisters. We constantly wander away from the shepherd. But here, David says, the shepherd restores my soul. David's saying, when I wander off spiritually, when I go astray from the shepherd in my sin, when I follow sin's call and I get lost, he finds me. He finds me. And he brings me back home to himself and to the fold. Brothers and sisters, the truth that David is giving to us here is that the shepherd will never let his sheep get away from him. He'll always track them down and bring them back to himself. When pondering this truth, one can't help but to think of the story of Jonah. You don't know that story? That's fine. Jonah was a prophet, and the Lord called him for a very specific mission, to go to Nineveh and to preach the good news. However, the story quickly takes a turn when Jonah does not want the Lord's mission, does not like the Lord's call, and he turns from the Lord and he runs as far and as fast as he can in the exact opposite direction. What's amazing about the story with Jonah is that the Lord is relentless in tracking Jonah down and turning him back. That's the amazing part of the story. That's the most amazing part about that book, is that the Lord is right there. Jonah can't get away from him. One artist wrote a song called Runaway on this very idea of the Lord tracking down and restoring his people. Listen to her words. Even if you run away from me, over the mountains and through the valleys, I will not rest, but search east and west to bring you back to me. Even if you sail away across the oceans and the seas, I will move again like the mighty wind and blow you back to me. That's the testimony of all of us, brothers and sisters. We are so quick to wander. Lord, I feel it, so quick to leave the God we love. We stray from him, following the lies of sin. And what happens at the end of that road? We get lost, and we're out in the dark, and in the mud, and in the cold. That's always where sin leads. And yet, there he is, the shepherd. He shows up again and again and again and again. He tracks you down. He finds you. And even when we're too ashamed and dirty to even to look into his face, he lifts up our chin. He gazes into our eyes, not with wrath, not with judgment, but with grace and forgiveness. He opens up our eyes to see sin for what it really is. He brings forth repentance in us. He cleans us up and he brings us home. What kind of shepherd is this? What shepherd is like this? I wonder if there's someone in here this morning who's on the run. And even now, the Lord has tracked you down. You've gone astray, but you can't outrun him. He's found you. And even now, through his word, he's speaking to you. He's saying, what are you doing out here? What are you doing? You don't belong out here. You're mine. Come back with me. That's what he says to you. Come back with me. And friend, if that's you, don't run. Confess your sin to him. Let him clean you up. Let him restore you. And then go back with him to true joy, true peace, true comfort. All those who belong to the shepherd can say, the Lord restores my soul. And this only makes sense. Because look where the Lord leads his sheep. We're still in verse 3, second statement here. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Paths of righteousness is more literally interpreted the right paths. But of course, the right paths, the paths we ought to go, are the righteous paths. In other words, the Lord leads his sheep down the paths that they ought to go. And those paths are paths of faith in and obedience to the shepherd. Friends, this is the work of the Lord in all of us. He's leading us in obedience. He's leading us to follow him, listen to him, obey him. He's sanctifying us. He's leading us to become more and more like his son, Jesus Christ. And he won't stop this work. Nothing will thwart this work. One day, even, he will complete this work. And the reason we know that is because he's doing it for his name's sake. Or to put it another way, the Lord guides his sheep down the paths of obedience to Him for His own glory. Friends, that's the end for which God does everything that He does, His own glory. And because it's His glory on the line, you can be sure of this. He will continue leading you down the paths of righteousness. So, we've seen the Lord as our shepherd. We've seen that He provides all our needs. We see that He gives us satisfaction and peace. We've seen that He leads us. Now, fourthly, we see the shepherd is always with us. He's always with us. Verse 4, He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me." This is perhaps the most famous line in the psalm. I think we can say that. Up until this point, the psalm's been pretty cheery. No dark notes whatsoever. But here in this verse, we get the first sight of the ominous valley, the dark valley. And I think our first question needs to be, okay, what's the valley of the shadow of death? The Hebrew construction that David uses here, literally interpreted darkest valley, seems to be expressive of any terror or danger or trouble that looms over and threatens the sheep. But of course, it seems that David's stretching the valley of the shadow of death to mean even the most ominous darkness there is, which is death. The second question then, though, that we need to ask, what in the world would David be doing walking through this valley? He's one of the Lord's sheep, isn't he? Why is he walking there? I think that's a good question. And the answer is, the Lord has led him there. Know this, brothers and sisters. To belong to the shepherd does not mean that you will not walk through the dark valleys. There are many teachers and many preachers who make millions of dollars saying exactly the opposite of what I just told you. They say that to belong to the Lord means no darkness, no suffering, no pain, no valleys, just the mountains. And you know why that's so heinous? Because then when the sheep are in the valley, and they will be, they think they've been abandoned because they've been shown, they've been taught that actually the Lord wouldn't do that. When in reality, brothers and sisters, the psalmist says, no, we will walk through the valleys. The shepherd does bring us there sometimes. The Lord in His wise, sovereign, good plan for His sheep walks us through the darkest valleys. These are the paths that sometimes He leads us on. Of that we can be sure. But we can also be sure of this. While we walk through the valley, we're not alone. The great hope and comfort of the Christian is not that I won't walk through valleys. It's that when I'm walking through them, He's with me. He's with me. I will not be afraid, David says. How can he say that? There's all kinds of things in the valley that are fearful. I will not be afraid. Why? You're with me. You're with me. Brothers and sisters, you're not alone when you lose the job. You're not alone when the bank account is dried up. You're not alone when you're sick. You're not alone when you can't get pregnant. You're not alone when you lose the child. You're not alone even in death. The Lord is with me. That's the claim of David. That's the claim of you and me. We're never alone in the valley. And moreover, in the valley, be sure of this, he's still working his good plan. He brought us there for a reason. And we know he's good. We know he's working good. We know that he'll even keep meeting our needs in the valley. Even more so, David says, he guides my every step in the valley. I think that's what David is getting at when he points out the Lord's staff. You see that there in verse 4? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's saying that the Lord will guide me through this. He won't let me go. He won't let me get off the path here as I'm going through suffering. No, he'll do exactly what I need. He'll keep me going. And thus David takes great comfort. Comfort in the valley. No fear in the valley. Oh yeah, that's what all you who are trusting in the shepherd, that's what you have. There is no denying that the valley of the shadow of death is dreary and cold and damp and shadowy. But look who's holding your hand. Your shepherd. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you ever, not even in the valley. So, we have seen then that the Lord is indeed our shepherd. He provides for us. He satisfies us. He gives us peace. He leads us. He's always with us, even in the valley. But now I must answer that question that earlier I said was the all-important question. And that question is, who can say the Lord is my shepherd? Who is it that can say, yes, I'm in the Lord's flock. All of Psalm 23 is for me. Who can say that? Because certainly this is what it comes down to. If you can't say the Lord is my shepherd, then this isn't for you. You can't claim this. Okay. So then, who can say, the Lord is my shepherd? Everyone whose faith is in Jesus Christ. Listen to Jesus' words from John 10, 11 to 16. They are staggering. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep. He flees them. He leaves them alone. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he doesn't care for the sheep. Not Jesus. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own. And my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I laid down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. And I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Friends, do you know what Jesus is saying? He's the shepherd. He's the shepherd of Psalm 23. It's Christ. It's Jesus Christ we're talking about here. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who cares for us. He's the one who watches over us. He's the one who meets all of our needs. He's the one who gives us deep satisfaction and gives us the peace that passes all understanding. He's the one that leads and guides us. He's the one who walks in the valley of the shadow of death with us. It's Him. He's the shepherd. And this shepherd, he died so we could have a place in his flock. He laid down his life so you and I could enter the fold. Know this, and know this for certain. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Lord. He became man in order to rescue all of the Lord's lost sheep. Isaiah 53 says, all of us have sinned and gone astray from God. And in our sin, we're cut off from the flock. We're cut off from the Lord. We're out in the dark alone with no shepherd. But here comes Christ. He finds the sheep in their sin and he rescues them. He bled and died on the cross so the sheep can be clean and forgiven and enter into the flock. He laid down his life so that all of you and me who trust in him could say, the Lord is my shepherd. Friend, if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, you don't know the Lord as your shepherd. You're still in your sin, and you're outside the flock. But this day, the Good Shepherd calls to you. Come to me, and I'll forgive you. Come to me, I'll clean you up. Come to me, I'll remove all the dirt, all the sin. Come to me, you'll enter the fold. Come to me, all this will be yours. Come to me, and you too can have this Lord for your shepherd. If you want to know more about that, please come and find me after the service. I'll be right here. Or you can talk to someone around you or one of our elders. So we've seen the Lord as our shepherd. Now, very briefly, we look at our second point, just quickly. We see the Lord as shepherd, now we see the Lord as host. Some scholars think that the shepherd imagery continues right on through verse 6, and thus then we should understand these last two verses in that vein. I think there are good arguments for that, but it seems to me rather there's a bit of switch in the imagery, and now David describes the Lord as a gracious host, and David sees himself as a friend at the table of the host. But something else I think has switched as well. David's attention now seems to be in the future when he's finally home with the Lord. So on that point then, there seems to be a progression in Psalm 23. David has described how the Lord has shepherded him all the days of his life, how the Lord has walked with him in the valleys, indeed even how the Lord has walked with him through death. And now at the end of the road, where does David see himself? Home with the Lord. More specifically, he's sitting at the Lord's table. Look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The imagery is astounding when we slow down and really gaze at it. The table, the oil, the overflowing cup. What is David envisioning? He's saying that when I am finally home with the Lord, when I finally make it to the presence of the Lord, there will be abundant goodness, joy, and blessings galore. When I finally make it to the Lord, David says, I'll be received as a friend. He'll sit me at the table. And he'll lavishly spoil me all of my days with his goodness. When David says, in the presence of my enemies, I think he's saying they can't do anything to him anymore. They're all put to shame. David is vindicated, sitting at the table of the Lord. The Lord in whom he trusted throughout his life. Indeed, all who trust in the Lord will not be put to shame, but the Lord's enemies will all be disgraced. Brothers and sisters, what David looks forward to is what you and I look forward to. In Christ, Jesus our shepherd brings us safely through this life, and he brings us right on up into his home, where he will host us, not just as strangers, but as friends, indeed, family. We have a seat at the table with Christ, not because we earned it, but because his blood bought it. And there we are with him, sitting and dining with him, enjoying the great host's lavish goodness, forever. And it is forever. It doesn't run out. And where are all the enemies? Where are all our foes? Where is sin? Where is death? Where is Satan? They can't do anything anymore. They'll all be put to shame. Praise God. He's our shepherd, and one day soon we will meet him as host and sit at his table to feast forever. And so what's the conclusion then? As we come to verse 6, this is the conclusion. This is the conclusion to the psalm, and really, I think this is the conclusion of David's life. He's reflected on his relationship with the Lord as shepherd and as host, and so he says this, in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You want an accurate description of the Christian life? That's it. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Who can say that? Who would dare say that? Christians. Christians would. The past, the present, the future, all covered here. David says, in the here and now, goodness and mercy. Like two FBI agents who are just following you around everywhere you go. Goodness and mercy are just tracking me down. I can't get away from them. They're just there at every corner. Goodness, mercy, meeting me. All our days. Today, tomorrow, all this week, all this month, all of our days. And what then does the future hold? We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is our shepherd, and the Lord one day will be our host. Let's pray. So, Father, I'm thankful for your word. I pray that even now you're working in the lives of your saints, that you're binding up wounds, that you're comforting, that you're stirring, that you're convicting. Lord, I pray that you open the eyes of this people to the glorious reality that you're our shepherd, and therefore, we shall not want, and we don't need to ever be afraid. And one day we'll sit at your table. Help us to live in the light of that reality. In your Son's name and for his glory. Amen.